Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. I am Pastor Will Mullins, and I am absolutely delighted that you are here to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. One announcement that I would like to make as we begin is the liturgist today was supposed to be Joe, but Nancy is in quarantine. One of her co-workers at the university tested positive, so as a precaution, she and Joe are just going to stay put. So Pastor Keith has graciously decided to fill in as liturgist, and we are here to worship the Lord. So let us begin.
Let us stand in body or in spirit in our call to worship. God created the heavens and the earth.
And the Spirit moved over the face of the deep.
Bringing light, water, day and night.
We see the work of your fingers, holy Creator.
You have crowned us with glory and honor.
Blessed is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Blessed is the love of God.
And the communion of the Holy Spirit.
You are with us always like a loving father.
You are with us always like a loving mother.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are with us always.
To the end of the age,
let us worship the one holy triune God.
Amen, amen, forever amen.
Thank you.
Let us now come to the one who forgives us through his grace in our call to confession. Our transgressions are before us.
Our sins are ever before our eyes.
In the presence of the Holy One,
we see
and know our iniquities.
We become aware that we are not blameless.
Indeed, we are born as sinners.
Let us confess our sins to God and one another.
Let us pray. Eternal God, there is no part of our lives that your gaze does not survey. There's no word that we've uttered, no action we have done or left undone that flees your awareness. And so, God, we have nothing to hide before you. We know that our lives are but a few days, a mere handful of breaths. Yet you love us and hold us in the palm of your hand. And so, God, we seek to know you more fully. We seek to be your disciple more clearly. And we know, O God, that this cannot be done until we admit our sin, until we seek your grace and forgiveness that is extended to us each and every day, as true as the light of the morning's gift by your Son, Jesus Christ. For though you know us from the tip of our hairs to the bottom of our feet, we should not fear. We should not worry or fret or be anxious. For it is in your deep knowing of us, O God, that we also realize the deep forgiveness that you extend to us. And so forgive us for the things that we've done that have hurt others. Forgive us for the half-truths and total lies that we've told. Forgive us, O God, for putting our needs and desires ahead of those who are so deeply wounded and hungry for love and support. God, we confess to you as a nation for the hard words of political polemic, for the careless ways, O God, that we judge and turn away from one another. God, forgive us. Heal us. Show us the way forward. And welcome us into the deep peace of your Son, Jesus Christ, who hears now all the silent prayers of our hearts. Amen. Friends, it is by the grace, mercy, and peace of Jesus Christ that we live each and every day of our lives. And I declare to you in his name that we are forgiven. Therefore, we should always forgive one another. Amen. Friends, the peace of God be with you. Amen. Please share that peace with one another. Amen. Friends, do we have any young disciples here this morning? I suppose we could make ourselves feel better and say we're all young disciples, right?
Well, since there's none coming up, I won't bother to put that on. Friends, we light this candle this week with a deep gratitude and thanksgiving for the ways in which God shows us God's love and light. And so for the tables that we will gather around, that may have less people around those tables, we give thanks for the light of God in our lives today. Let us pray. Blessed God, help us to be grateful people. For if there is only one prayer that we say, may it be thank you. And so thank you for our homes, for the food that you've given, for the family and friends that surround us. But also, God, be with those for whom their family may not be with them, or the friends that can't gather. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, in gratitude for all the many and varied ways that God has bestowed so much upon our lives, let us return but a portion in our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Let us pray. God, bless these gifts, that these gifts may be gifts of hope and peace and love for others in this community. Open our hearts to be generous, open our minds to be grateful, and bless all that we do to the peace of our Savior, our Lord Jesus. Amen. Please stand.
Let us pray. Lord God, please open our hearts, our ears, and our minds as we hear your word now proclaimed to us in the name of your risen Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Our first reading this morning comes to us from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, the creation of the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Friends, our second scripture reading is, in fact, from Matthew. I sent Pastor Keith the wrong gospel passage, but that's all right. We can fix that. It definitely would not work if I did the Matthew one, or the Mark one, rather. So let us listen for God's word to us as it comes to us from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus heard a voice from heaven. John the Baptist heard a voice from heaven. I mean, anybody a stone's throw from the muddy banks of the Jordan heard a voice as beautiful as angels singing in elegant rhyme. On that day, Jesus walked down the river to be baptized in sandy brown colored water. The River Jordan is not a very picturesque river if you've ever seen it. But in this amazing scene, the heavens are ripped open. In the Greek, the word is schismata. We know that word because people say naughty words about it, like schizo. It comes from the Greek. It means to rip the fabric of something. And so the Spirit sails down from glory as the heavens are ripped open. And they come on the tender wings of a white dove, and the voice calls from on high to all below, and the message is clear and simple. There is no need to tease out or fumble around for a theme. When heaven comes down and rests in that moment, we know exactly what God's after. We know why God broke the silence of that River Jordan. God loves his Son. God names him the Beloved. God tells the people on the banks of the River Jordan that God is unabashedly pleased with Jesus of Nazareth. Pleased to the point where God rips the fabric of reality between this world and the next. The heavens are torn open to the sound of God's frightening, God's amazing, shattering love for Jesus. That's his baptism. God loves God's Son so much. But what does that love mean for Jesus? What does this baptismal love mean for us? I mean, is God's love a final destination that we arrive at? I mean, when the loving voice is heard from on high, what comes next? Well, there's no quicker way to get tripped up and tongue-tied than to try to answer such questions as, what is love? How do we love? What does love look like? Friends, I believe I am just absolutely helpless when it comes to fumbling around for a pretty phrase to define the tricky, sticky, and sometimes puzzling word that is love. Now, I don't think you can take a crack at a word like that by giving some sentimental example of it. I don't think you can reason your way into proving love's existence, and you most certainly cannot demonstrate the ways in which love is real by how you feel or what you have chosen, or even the great realization of your deep need for love. Love will not come begging for our thoughts in order to exist. Love will not grow from the hidden chambers of our heart. Love is not about what we pine, pant, or pander for. It thrives and arises from a place too high for us to climb, a place too expansive for us to chart, a location too perplexing for us to fully categorize. Love makes a journey that morning. And I'm sorry to say that it doesn't start with our minds, our hearts, or our actions. The journey of love begins with a voice hovering over the face of the deep in darkness. Wave-tossing chaos of a freshly fashioned cosmos, God's loving voice is heard in that moment, and it towers over the cataracts of the deep. I want you to think about this for a moment. The difference between divine speech and human speech. God says, "Let there be light," and it instantly creates that reality. Human beings say they love one another all the time, but that doesn't create the reality. That's the difference between God's speech and our speech. God's loving speech is heard, and then suddenly light appears, dry land surfaces, seed, root, flower, tree, and fruit emerge with the effortless and loving care of a God that delights in green grass, who delights in the color splayed across the back of a peacock. I mean, this is a God that cannot seem to contain God's self. And then after that, God says, "It is good." Boy, it's hard to say that now, isn't it? When we look around at everything, to say it's good. But friends, I believe this morning that we are still basking in the warm glow of God's pronouncement with the words, "It is good." Because we are thrust on an inescapable path of creation's waters. And now we get to see this moment on the sandy, loamy banks of the brown waters of the River Jordan. And you know what? God says it again. "You are good. You are my beloved, and I am so pleased." You notice how I escaped the answer of what is love? That's what preachers do. I didn't answer the question. Well, that's because I'm still groping for a digestible answer. I mean, how do we love? I mean, I feel like a carpetbagger charlatan stuck in the mud trying to pull out some idea. And the answer to the mystery of love is heard in the deeper and more mysterious reply of God's loving voice, rolling over the water and tumbling on all of our heads the day we were baptized. Friends, God's love is the beginning of all love, and it is good. Now, we've heard it said that God is love. But let's think about that. In Genesis, the love of God spills over into creation on the wings of the Spirit's words. With words, things come into being. With words, the ground is dry. With words, the ocean is wet. With words, birds fly. Fish swim. With words, the clouds gather rain and the sun's rays bathe Eden's garden. I mean, God's word is love, and that love is so powerful, active, and creative. So we had better watch out the next time we say we love something. How many of us on Thursday are going to say, I just love this sweet potato casserole? Do you really know what you're saying? I mean, are you saying that there's nothing left but tooth decay or obesity? I mean, do you really love it? I guess maybe what we're saying is that sweet potato casserole, or whatever it is you like, has a shred of Eden's golden glow in it. Maybe it has just a sliver of Jordan's bright light. But most of the time when we use that word, we just toss it around like a Nerf football at an elementary school recess. We haven't a clue what the word love means. But John tells us that the word became flesh, and we know that God's word is love. And so now love has a name, an address, so to speak. Love has arrived in a way that it was destined to arrive. God's love has arrived in the body of Jesus, standing waist deep in the Jordan, while looking into the eyes of a wild prophet named John. Love is now a word that walks, talks, and lives in the messy, complicated, and everyday grind called planet Earth. And that love, with no fault or regret of its own, suddenly submits to the raging chaos of the baptismal waters of the Jordan. Jesus is baptized, and love rips the world wide as creation once again shines in a fulfilled light of powerful love. Love is once again moving on the face of the deep. Spirit on the water, hovering over the face of the deep. I'm so in love with you, babe, that I can hardly sleep. Bob Dylan may be singing those words to a long-lost sweetheart, but when I hear that song, I picture God humming that tune in Genesis while God carves out a space for us to live and move and have our being. A place where we can love and be loved. Friends, it's too good. It's too pleasing to pass up. I don't think any one of us here this morning can live properly unless we have heard a loving voice in our life. You may be that voice for someone. In fact, you may be the only voice that says those words to someone. And thank God for that. In Genesis, love has a voice. And we can listen for it. It says, I'm pleased, and this is good. In Matthew, love has a voice. And that love takes the form of water flowing on the skin of two men wading in the Jordan. Here comes love in a blast of light. In Genesis, I hope you see the connection. Love, it's something you can feel dripping from our hands. And here love falls from the sky with the downward flight of a dove. We can see it if we care to look. It is here on the banks of the Jordan. And that love is not abstract. It's not complicated or hidden. Love is always has its place. And love is as it has always been, breaking into our lives, scrubbing us clean, and filling us with words too sweet for belief. God is love, God is here, and God is good. Amen. Friends, will you please stand as we seek to affirm the ancient faith of the church by saying together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated, friends. I would now invite Pastor Keith to come forward for our prayers of the people.
It is now time for us to turn our attention then to our prayers for those who are in need, and again listed in your bulletin is some of those, but this is your opportunity to share with us your joys and your concerns that might need to be added to that list. So does anyone have anything they'd like to share? Yes, Julie. So she is expressing joy to the healthcare professionals that are working so hard. All right, thank you. Okay, others? Yes, Jim.
Yes, I had a friend who died last night.
Oh.
I just want to mourn.
You go right ahead, brother.
Thank you, Jim, for sharing. And so we pray for the Glenn Wilkes family. Okay. Okay. Ellen.
My son Jeremy moved home from California last week. They got a place. And everyone knows Jeremy's a stage 4 alcoholic. He's been sober for a little over a year and a half. And I just, it's a real scare having him here in Ohio. It's a lot of stress. Please keep him in the prayers.
Absolutely. So we not only pray for Jeremy, but we pray for Ellen and her whole entire family as they're now going through another change. So, yes. Others? Let us pray. Loving God, it is in this stillness that we come into your presence right now, giving thanks for all that you have given, all that you have done, and all that you will continue to do. Giving thanks for the many blessings that you have poured out upon all of us. Giving thanks for hearing our prayers, hearing the concerns of our hearts as we seek to receive your love and your forgiving grace. We give thanks. We also give thanks, Lord, that you know each name and each family that is listed before us and those that have been lifted up this morning. And so we pray for your healing upon all those who are hurting, whether that hurt be to the physical body, or whether they are suffering emotional distress in their life, or maybe they just need the spirit awakened, we lift them to you. We pray for families, Lord, that have lost that dear loved one, and we just pray that you would encircle them with love, care, and comfort. And then we also pray, Lord, for that unspoken request that was on our hearts but was not mentioned. But you know that word before we speak. And so we take these spoken and unspoken requests and we lay them at your feet. And as always, we do continue to pray for your will, not ours, to be done. And then give us the peace to understand your will. We give thanks for this church, this community, this free nation. And we give you thanks for those who serve, whether they serve in the armed forces, whether they serve on our police, fire, EMS protection, or whether they are serving in a hospital as a health care provider right now. We give you thanks for them, and we pray for their safety. We pray for their families who are separated from their loved ones. For we ask all of this in the name of your loving Son, Jesus, the one who taught his disciples to pray, beginning, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
Friends, on the day that each of you were baptized, the voice of God said, "You are God's beloved, and that God is well pleased with you. Go and be that voice for others." In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.